This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah, Allah, Allah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The story of the companion that I chose for tonight is a bit long, and I was thinking maybe we should divide it into two parts, but it's one of the most interesting stories. So it's up to you. I can do a summary of it, or we can do a good portion of it. So cover some tonight, maybe not reveal the name, and then next week or tomorrow. What do you? Summary? Allah, you can't summarize it. It's like very long, like you would need a whole lecture. It's a very interesting story, actually. There are a lot of. This companion has a lot of. Okay, let's just talk about the beginning, you know. Let's talk about the beginning. He was tall, dark, athletic, and eventually, of course, had full gray hair, and he was very strong, fierce fighter. You know, he could attack an entire caravan on his own. In some stories, they say his tribe was known for making a living by robbing caravans. Entire tribe. So this was, and they were very feared. In spite of all of that, you know, and sometimes he would actually ride, and sometimes he would go on foot. That's how fast he was. And in spite of that, he used to worship Allah, or the Creator. Idolatry did not appeal to him. And he would at times get up when the sun rises, and he would pray until he passes out. He would just stand praying until he passed out. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to Islam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said that when this companion basically told him his own story, his life story. So he told him that I was from this particular tribe. If I say the name of the tribe, then you're going to know who it is. Right? Okay, yeah, you know who it is? If you know who it is, khalas, we're done. So you already know who it is. Khalas, yeah. Okay. It was a tribe of bandits, you're right. So he said, I was with my tribe when we received the news that a man appeared in Mecca that claimed to be a prophet. So I said to my brother, I said, go to this to go to Mecca and talk to this man and bring me back some news. So he said he went, he met with him, and then he came back. So I said to him, what did you think? Or what did you find out? So he said, I found a man who commands people to do good and forbids people from evil. So he said, لم تشفني. قال لم تشفني من الخبر. He said, this is it. Where is, I need some. So he said, فجعلت. So he said, فأخذت جرابا وعصا. So he got ready and he took off. ثم أقبلت إلى مكة. So I reached Mecca. And he said, and I don't know what he looks like. Right? I don't know what he looked like. And I didn't want to ask anyone. So I started drinking from Zamzam. I would stay in the masjid. So he said, when Ali radiallahu anhu passed by me one day, Ali said to me, you look like you're a stranger. And what are you doing here? So he said, yeah. So he said, I went with him. He said, why don't you come with me? I will host you. So he said, I went with him. He didn't ask me anything. And I wouldn't tell him anything. Both are kind of nervous. They don't want to reveal what? Too much information. What if this guy, right? So he said, the next day I went to the masjid. Meaning, which masjid? Haram. Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Haram. So to investigate and inquire about this man. But of course he can't say his name. He can't describe him. He has to be very careful. So he said, Ali passed by me again. And Ali this time hinted. He said, have you not found a place yet? I said, no. So he said, okay, come with me. So he took him. And he asked me, what's the matter? What are you here for? What's your story? So I said to him, if you keep this a secret, I'll tell you. If you keep this between us. So he said he promised him not to tell anyone. So he said, we heard about a man that came out saying that he's a prophet. And I sent my brother to investigate. My brother came back. No, he didn't really give me much. So I wanted to see him and meet him. So he said to him, well, you're at the right place. You're with the right person. I was actually on my way to see him, so come with me. So he said, just follow me quietly. So he said, just follow me quietly. If I see someone, if I feel like we're being watched or, monitored, then I'm going to just stop to the side of the road and pretend like I am fixing my slipper or my sandal. You just pass me by, like you don't know me. So now he's following him. He said, follow me. But if I feel like it's not safe, then I'm going to pretend like I'm fixing my shoes. That's a sign that we should separate, go our own separate ways. So he said, okay. So he did the same thing. So he said he took me eventually to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, and he told me about Islam, and I accepted Islam. And he told me, go back to your people and conceal this. Right? Don't share this with anyone. Keep this between us. So he said, I said to him, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ, by the one that sent you with the truth, I'm going to cry out, and I'm going to scream, and I'm going to yell, and let everyone know. So he said, he went to the masjid. Quraysh were sitting. So he said, Ya ma'ashar Quraysh, inni ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulah. Just to their face. فقالوا قوموا إلى هذا الصابع. So they went and they went to beat him up. So he said, in another narration, it said, فقاموا بكل, he said, they came with every piece of rock, stick, anything in their hand, any object that they can hit me with, they all came from everywhere. They just surrounded me. They started beating me. He said, I was almost going to die, right, from the beating. When a man, Abbas, came and he said to them, are you crazy? Do you know which tribe this man is from? And he reminded them, he's from a tribe that what? Your caravans, you know, the route of your caravans goes through their territory. If you kill one of them, you're done, right? Your economy, your trade, you know, you can't afford to do that. So he said, they left me alone. The next day, I went back and I did the same thing, right? So they got up and they started beating me until I was almost going to pass out. Al-Abbas came and he saved them again, right? So he did it twice, radiyallahu anhu wa Allah. In another narration, it said that he came, when they did that, he got up and he was just full of blood. He said, كَأَنِّي نُصُبٌ أَحْمَرٌ. He said, as if I am a statue painted with red paint, like from the blood. So he said, I went to Zamzam. Zamzam was a well. I went down to Zamzam, washed, and then I started drinking from Zamzam. And it said that I stayed there for a long time until I healed completely. And for about a month, for 4 weeks, he wouldn't come out. He was afraid to be, you know. And he said, until I started having, like, you know, extra fat, right? Love handles, extra fat. And I gained weight. I had nothing that I was consuming except Zamzam. So he said, I came out in the middle of the night, and Mecca or the Haram was just completely empty. No one. So he said, I came out and I hid between the sheets or the curtains. They used to cover the Kaaba, like decorate the Kaaba with sheets. So he said, I hid between them and I was just standing there, you know, when all of a sudden two women showed up at night making tawaf. تَدْعُوَانِ إِسَافًا وَنَائِلًا, praying to Isaf and Na'ila. Isaf and Na'ila were one of the many idols inside the Kaaba or around the Kaaba. And some people say Isaf and Na'ila, like there was a legend that Isaf and Na'ila were a male and a female that actually, you know, committed fahisha inside the Kaaba, and Allah turned them into rocks. Right? Allah cursed them and they turned into rocks. So that was the legend amongst, you know, that Quraysh basically thought that was the significance of Isaf and Na'ila. They still worship them. That's like, how could you worship someone that, ajib, just to show you that kufr or shirk doesn't make sense. It's illogical, it's irrational. So he said they came and they started praying to Isaf and Na'ila, and they passed by me. When they passed by me in their tawaf, he said, I said something to offend them, you know, regarding that. So he said they ignored me. So he said they came the second time around the Kaaba, and when they were about to pass by me, still calling out to who? Isaf and Na'ila. So he said to them, why don't you have them get married? Like the Tuwaila. So that's when they lost it, right? And they started screaming, yelling. And he said they walked away. These two women walked away. And then there were two men coming at the same time as these women, they were, you know, walking away. One of the two men said, what's wrong? Are you okay? They said, this man over there, this horrible man, said something that is very offensive about our God and goddess. So he said, and I was, yani he was nervous. And then all of a sudden, as the two men approached him, it turned out to be Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a conversation with him, and he told him to go back to his tribe, right, and stay there until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends him a message, right? So he went back to his tribe. He ran into the brother that he sent. So he told him, what happened? He said, I accepted Islam. He said, well, if you accepted Islam, I'm going to accept Islam. their mother said, "What's the matter?" They said, "Well, we accepted Islam." She said, "Well, if you two became Muslim, I would become a Muslim as well." And then eventually half of his tribe, and then eventually the entire tribe became Muslim. You know which tribe it is? Ghifar. No. That was Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. There's differences of opinions as to what his name was. You know, the most famous of all was Jundub ibn Junada. And the story of Abu Dharr starts here, doesn't end here. You know, subhanAllah, almost in every stage of his life, there is some significant story. His life, and the story of his Islam begins in a very interesting fashion, right? He comes pursuing Islam alone, right? And his also life or his story ends, you know, alone, by himself. Very unique personality. Abu Dharr was one of the most unique companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, he had a very special place in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was actually, in a way, right, responsible, the barakah of his accepting Islam, he was able to influence his entire tribe. His entire tribe entered into Islam together. And they came and they joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually in Medina, radiallahu anhu wa radiallahu. So we're going to stop right here, inshallah. It seems like a very, very quiet night for some reason. Though it was a serious thunderstorm earlier today, mashallah. No. Radiallahu anka, Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr had very special connection with the Prophet. The Prophet will tell him things and teach him things. And he was able to take a lot, radiallahu anhu wa radiallahu. Very unique personality, bi-abihu wa radiallahu anhu wa radiallahu. So jazakumullahu khairan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant to each and every single one a peaceful night, inshallah. Does anyone have any question about this, about anything else? Yes, that's how they made their living. No. Oh, not only that, but Abu Bakr asked him, "Did you used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Islam in Jahiliyyah?" He said, "Yeah." So he didn't, you know, idols didn't make any sense to him, even before he accepted Islam. Right, so very unique personality, free thinker, you know. And sometimes people have this, like, I don't know what to call it. There's like a dichotomy that some people basically live, you know. They could, during the daytime, engage in haram or engage in something that is immoral. I mean, there was no halal and haram back then, but it was immoral, right? Yet they saw that to be a legitimate way of earning living. And then in the evening or at night, they were the nicest people, very benevolent, very, you know, maybe he was like Robin Hood, I don't know. Just take him from the rich, you know, members of Quraysh and giving to the poor and his family. So, yeah. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.